Welcome to this week's episode of the John Krasinski Show here on the Talk North Sports Podcasting Network. I'm John Krasinski, the proprietor of the show, would we say? I'm not sure the namesake of the show. That's probably a better word for it. I am typically the wingman on my own show. The show has my name on it. I ride shotgun. Jim Suhan is normally the host of our show. He is down at the Masters this week. And so we are going to do something a little bit different with this episode. I am going to go Tom Hanks Castaway on this bit. I'm going to try and go a solo pod to really lay out as best I can what I see with the Timberwolves ownership mess right now. And so we will get into Glenn Taylor's side of the situation. We will get into Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie's side of the situation. We will kind of let you know what the next steps are in this whole process and really just try and reset the deck on what's been an exhausting couple of weeks on that front for an organization that is gearing up to host its first game one of a playoff series in 20 years. And it has been wild. There's a lot to get into, and we will try to do that as best we can. As I kind of fly solo through this podcast and just bring you up to date on everything I've got going. Again, this is the John Krasinski Show. We are brought to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio, Head Flyer Brewing, TSR Injury Law, Lamb Chops Clothing, and Defined Destinations are all very valuable supporters and contributors to our show. We will tell you a little bit more about all of those fine companies as we get into it. Producer Brandon Morton is our producer extraordinaire. He does everything for this network, and he works way too long and way too hard, but we're thankful for him. We will also, a little bit later, take a Twitter question from the audience and the winner will get a free pair of Lamb Chops shorts, so stick around for that. And we will also make a very exciting announcement about an upcoming live show at Head Flyer Brewing. So stick through all of my babble over the next probably 30, 40 minutes here as we reset it to have those little nuggets that might be of interest to you a little later in the show. So, all right, let's try and just reset the stage of where things stand right now with this ownership debacle. As we have reported at The Athletic, as has been discussed ad nauseum on podcasts, including this show over the last few weeks, the three-year purchase agreement arrangement between Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie to eventually pass the baton to them as controlling owners has gone up in flames. And we saw last week how Glenn Taylor first kind of said the deal has expired. Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie have not made the commitments that they need to make, have not adhered to the contract to the point that would extend it and allow them to go through the NBA approval process. And so Glenn Taylor considers the deal done. And Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie are considered limited partners. And Glenn Taylor is going forward as the controlling owner. He has no plans to put it back on the market. He wants to keep this thing, keep going with Anthony Edwards, with Tim Connelly and Chris Finch, and let this whole thing play out. On the other side of the equation, Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez clearly furious at Glenn Taylor's interpretation of this contract. They say, no, we actually got our money together. It was in a week ahead of the deadline. We deserve, as is stated in the contract, a 90-day extension to go through league approval and have them vet our financial situation and then go to a vote of the Board of Governors to give us controlling shares of the team. And so you have two sides that at once, a long time ago, spoke about the deep respect they have for each other. They spoke about working together to put this organization in the best possible position going forward. and now they are diametrically opposed. I have never been in the middle of a situation where one side's version of the events, one side's interpretation of the contract, of any contract, is as completely polar opposite of the other side's. If you talk to Glenn Taylor's side, you've seen him quoted publicly at The Athletic and elsewhere, that he says, look, Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez do not have the money. If they did have the money, they would have closed this deal, and none of this would have been possible. I would not have been able to pull it off the market. I would not have been able to look at the $1.5 billion price tag that I sold it to them for, now maybe see, you know, the valuation increasing to $2.5 or $3 billion and think about taking care of my limited partners in a different way. None of that would have mattered. It would not have mattered if Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez had their money, had everything, all of their ducks in a row, and went through the process as the contract required them to go through the process and completed it. It would have been out of my hands. They would have been in control. Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez say, whoa, 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 Glenn, we did have the money. We did submit our documents to the league. And you are actually just breaking the contract. You're in breach of it. You do not have grounds to deem that this contract, that our option to buy the last 40% that we needed is expired. And we have legal right under the contract to continue our process of going through approval and go to a board of governors vote. So they're saying, Glenn Taylor, you are not telling the truth here. We have the money. It's ready to go. I will say that as I can report, at the Athletic, in my research, in my reporting of this situation, I have seen documents that indicate that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Loury did send their financial commitment letters to the NBA 1 week before the March 27th closing date. So that part has been independently verified by me. That Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez did say, yes, we got this money. We have limited partners that have invested with us to get to a little bit north of $600 million, I believe it is, that was required of them to buy this last tranche of equity in the company and shares in the company that would give them controlling interest. So I've seen that part of it. They are telling the truth in that respect, that they did send this money in. Here's the very difficult, in the weeds part of this whole situation. Yes, Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez did send that money in. It did provide proof of funds to buy the team. But where Glenn Taylor disputes the actions of Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez is saying that the last 3 months where they have been trying to get the money together to put all of their financial ducks in a row to get to a position to buy this team, they missed several deadlines along the way that would have qualified them for this 90-day extension. And one of the major pushbacks on Mark Loury and Alex Rodriguez has been that 1 week before, that they actually did send in the proof of funds, they had to change the financing in their group. Carlyle Group was a private equity firm that had committed about $300 million to this last purchase of the 600. So roughly half of the money that they needed to buy this this last 40% was committed by this private equity firm, Carlyle Group. They were the ones that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Loury were working with in late December when they exercised their option to buy this team. Well, sometime in the middle of March, it became clear that the Carlyle Group was not going to be able to come to terms with the NBA on meeting certain parameters that were required for Carlyle Group to join the ownership group of an NBA team. And the way that I have kind of deciphered this is, I think Carlyle Group is a massive, massive private equity firm. They have investments and dealings all over the country and all over the world. And I do believe that there were some investments that may have involved individual NBA players. And, you know, maybe their some of their financial wealth management and things of that nature that would have been perceived as a conflict of interest. Just for example, if, you know, a limited partner of the Minnesota Timberwolves had business with, let's just say, LeBron James, and, you know, in some of that wealth management. I'm just completely making this up. I'm not reporting that LeBron James is involved in this at all, but that LeBron James had some financial wealth management dealings with Carlyle Group, then that would be kind of considered a pretty sizable conflict. I think that the idea was is that Carlyle Group would have had to divest their interests in some of those positions that may have involved NBA players or coaches or other members of the league to just kind of wipe that slate clean. And Carlyle Group couldn't get on board with that. They were, this is just like the process that they were working through and just ultimately decided, look, that's too much of an ask for us right now. We have to look at this further. We are out. So that was, you know, around March 19th, March 20th is when that information became available to us, when it became known. And so when you first hear that, you think, holy cow, Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez have lost $300 million a week before they are supposed to close on this whole thing. They are in major, major trouble. They did pivot very quickly to secure capital contributions from Dyal Capital to help bridge that gap. I think some of the other limited partners in their group may have kicked in a little bit more. Maybe even Mark and Alex would have kicked in some more as well. But they had to move quickly to get Dyal Capital, which is already approved by the NBA, on the list of approved private equity firms that could join a NBA team ownership. And so when Lori and Rodriguez secure Dyal Capital, they say, okay, Carlyle Group didn't work out. We got Dyal Capital in here. Now we have the money. We are going to submit it to the NBA. We are good. Everything is fine. But I think the way that Glenn Taylor views this situation, I think he looks at the very late shift with significant amount of money kind of changing and the funding mechanism changing. And there is a belief that more notice had to be provided for the league, for Glenn Taylor as the seller of the team, to be able to really vet this the proper way and get their minds around, hey, is this money still good? Are we still in a good position? That is one of several steps that the Taylor side of this believes Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori missed while in the run-up to the closing. And so Glenn Taylor expected on March 27th for everything to be done and closed. That means the money transferred. That means all the approvals needed and all of their limited partners vetted to get this all done. And the way that he views it, Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez did not do that. They did not meet the requirements. That's why he kept saying publicly, they tried to get the money together. It looks like they couldn't do it. And so Glenn looks at this and says, all right, deal's off. I'm keeping the team. we're going forward. I am going to be the primary decision maker as I have been throughout the course of my ownership, even as Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie joined the group and had a bigger role. It was still, these were still my decisions in the end on all of this. And so we're going forward. Laurie and Rodriguez say, nope, that's not it. This is a bad faith argument. You are actually arguing about technicalities that are not material breaches of this this contract, and we are going to go to mediation, we're going to go to arbitration, and as Alex Rodriguez said, we'll fight this for 5 or 10 years if it takes, and to get our point across, to make this our team. And so this is all shaping up to be just an unbelievably public and messy battle, while the Timberwolves are going for the number one seed, still mathematically in the race for the number one seed as they prepare for the Atlanta Hawks on Friday night. We're recording this on Friday morning. We are going to take a break for a minute here. I'm going to get to some very breaking news on the other side of this break. But first, I want to tell you about Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis. They have been a sponsor of this podcast for a couple of years now. It's a great, great partnership that has developed between some really hardworking folks over at Head Flyer, Nate, Neil, Megan, just a great group. The bartenders are awesome. We love going there. It's not far from my house. There's a chance that you've been to Head Flyer Brewing for a live show. And the very exciting news today that we can share with you is on Tuesday, April 16th, starting at 6 p.m., there's going to be a John Krasinski Live podcast. Myself, Jim Suhan, Brandon Morton will be there. And also, President of Basketball Operations, Tim Connolly, will be there. We're going to raise the curtain on the Timberwolves playoff push. They'll have been done with the regular season, preparing for the playoffs. If you were at the live show right around in February, right before the All-Star break, Chris Finch was there. It was an awesome time. The place was packed. Get there early to get a good seat and to take it in. Tim has been very generous and willing to share his time with us. He's going to answer some questions. We're going to talk about the playoffs. We're going to talk about just everything about the Timberwolves and the job that he's done to build this team into a legitimate title contender, which is just crazy to say. But if you go to Head Flyer Brewing in Northeast Minneapolis on Hennepin Avenue, Tuesday, April 16th, we will be there 6 p.m. for the recording. Tim will be right at the top, do a half hour with him. Then I will take questions from the audience afterward. We'll have prizes. We are going to also have ticket giveaways for the playoffs, guys. So show up early, get there. We'll enter a raffle. Hopefully you can win some playoff tickets as well. Thanks to Head Flyer Brewing for sponsoring, and I can't wait to see you guys out there. And now we will also hear from longtime supporter of this podcast, TSR Injury Law.
You know the deal. TSR Injury Law has become a great business success by helping people. 612-TSR-TIME. If you're injured, just call 612-TSR-TIME. You will deal with someone who will help you. They will not charge you unless they win your case, and they win a lot of cases. That's why they are a success story. You see the billboards. You see Steve Terry up there with Naz Reid. He's become a big part of the Timberwolves culture because people trust him. People like him. If you see him at the arena, definitely say hello. 612-TSR-TIME. That's all you need to know. 612-TSR-TIME.
All right. We are back here on the John Krasinski Show. And as I said before the break, I have a little bit of breaking news to share on the ownership front. And I am told through sources with the team that they are expecting Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie to show up for the game on Friday night against the Atlanta Hawks. They are going to be sitting courtside in their normal seats. This is the first time they will have been in Target Center since the whole fracas began. And so I am really interested to see kind of what the environment is like, what the atmosphere is like. I think in general, fans have been kind of more focused, at least in the arena, on the game itself. They haven't been heckling Glenn Taylor, you know, much or getting unruly that way. I wonder if Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie's presence on Friday night will change that or not. we will just see about that. But it just kind of goes to show that they are going to be sitting courtside two games before the regular season is over. And while the team is still pushing for the best seed possible in the playoffs after losing to Denver the other night, I think the most likely scenario is maybe the two seed, but they still have an outside chance at the one seed. And they are getting ready for what they hope is a deep playoff run. And now this whole ownership situation just threatens to really, I think, overshadow everything that they have built, everything that the team has done to win back public opinion, to kind of get the attention on their side. Think about it. Anthony Edwards is, you know, a budding face of the league. Karl Anthony Towns is going to make his return tonight against the Hawks after missing, I think, 17 games with a torn meniscus, getting back, getting some games, two games under his belt before the playoffs begin. That's huge for him to knock that rust off. You have Chris Finch, you know, in the conversation for Coach of the Year. You have Rudy Gobert in the conversation for, and probably the front runner for, Defensive Player of the Year. You have Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year, maybe favorite or certainly co-favorite for that award. And so you have so many good things going on with the Timberwolves. They have been, this team on the court has been the anti-Timberwolves. They have not been dysfunctional. They have not been filled with drama. They have not been, losing and plummeting down and just kind of barely trying to scrape into the play-in tournament, as they did last year and the year before. This team is legitimately worthy of fan support, of all of the excitement that surrounds it going into these playoffs. And now you hear, here you have this ownership struggle where I do think it takes fan attention away from the product on the court, because just this week we've seen, last week we saw Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie, kind of swap public jabs at each other. When Glenn Taylor says, Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, they didn't have the money and they weren't really, they weren't really involved in a lot of the decision-making processes and things like that. That's just a jab. That's a swipe at them to minimize some of the things that they have done. And Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie fire back. Well, actually Glenn, he didn't want the Rudy deal, which I don't necessarily believe that to be the case. I think that Glenn Taylor was on board with the Rudy deal, but certainly also then, Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie kind of, saying that Glenn Taylor really has backed out on this deal. And this is a continuation of the way that he's done business over the years with many people around the league and in his personal business, and kind of like throwing mud on his reputation that way. And it's just been so ugly, and it's spilled over into this week now. Now you have on Wednesday a report from Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN that Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez submitted financial projections as part of this sale process that has them cutting the payroll on the team to under the luxury tax line, so they do not have to pay luxury tax. That implies probably that you're trading Karl Anthony Towns, or maybe it's you're trading Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels or something like that to get under that line. And that really reflects poorly on Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez and their ambitions and what their plans are for this organization. It was a mudslinging type of report that certainly is grounded in fact, because those projections I can independently verify were submitted. What I also can say is that those projections are not binding at all. So it's just a projection and that is it. And I do believe that if the Wolves were to advance in the playoffs and really look like a team that was on the verge of being a championship level team, or let's even say they make the finals, Glenn Taylor or Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez are going to pay the luxury tax next year. Like that's a simple fact of the matter. Then you look at Glenn Taylor's history of not paying the luxury tax very often, and it might be easy for Mark and Alex to say, or anybody who supports Mark and Alex to say, well, Glenn Taylor's never paid the luxury tax, so how is this even fair of him to say to them? And that would be right. He has rarely paid the luxury tax at all. In fairness to Glenn, he's very rarely had a team worthy of paying the luxury tax. There are not many owners in the league, very few, that will pay the luxury tax on a team that is not considered home court advantage playoff team, a championship or a contender playoff team. Like, that's just the rules, and the financial penalties for that are so great that most owners stay away from it. And that's what Glenn Taylor has done essentially since, you know, the 2004 team kind of started to fall apart. And so you could also say, well, Glenn, that's your fault for not being able to assemble a team with enough talent to require that investment. But again, I will say on Glenn Taylor's side, if the Wolves advance and if the under those same parameters and go to the Western Conference Finals, go to the finals, Glenn Taylor's going to pay the luxury tax next year. Like, that's a fact. Both of these owners have sort of kind of backed themselves into the corners as representing how, no, I'm the best option for leading this franchise. No, I'm the best option for leading this franchise. So whoever wins this fight cannot afford, in the public opinion, in the public view, to say, yeah, okay, we did this, we want it, now we're not going to pay the tax. That would be a disastrous opening to whatever this next era is going to look like, whether it continues with Glenn Taylor, whether Mark and Alex kind of continue with it. And so so you have that report on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, Shams Charania, my colleague at The Athletic, reports on his daily show, television show, that Tim Connelly has an opt-out in his five-year contract after the second season. And that's a bombshell too, because you think about, okay, last year there's probably a lot of fans with the way that Rudy Gobert trade kind of was looking to be an ill-advised move, that, you know, said, okay, Tim, go ahead, get the heck out of here. We don't want you around here. But the longer that Tim has been in this position, the more clear it becomes that he's one of the very best executives in the league. Signs Kyle Anderson, trades for Mike Conley and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, signs Naz Reid to a new deal, brings in Monte Morris in a trade. And most importantly, Tim sticks with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns in the front court when there was much pressure on him from media, probably from other people in the league, saying that'll never work. You have to break that up. It's not going to happen. Tim, Chris Finch said, no, we are sticking with this. We believe that one more year, some familiarity, some better health, all of those things will work out, and it's going to work to our advantage. Lo and behold, they've been first or second in the West almost all year, and Tim Connolly's reputation locally has skyrocketed. And now it's to the point where Shams reports that about the opt-out, and I think fans are rightly concerned about, wait a minute, if this doesn't go through, if this sale doesn't go through, will Tim Connelly leave? Because Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie are the ones that really brought him in. And are we in danger of that happening? No, please don't let that happen. And so, so you have this report that the first report reflects poorly on Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, you know, in terms of the luxury tax situation. And the second report probably reflects a little bit more nervousness about Glenn Taylor's continued stewardship of the franchise. And if Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez are not here, as was the plan when Tim Connelly came aboard, would he exercise that opt-out and leave? Like, that's a possibility. It's a possibility that he could do that. My read on the situation as of Friday here today is I don't believe that is a likely scenario. I do think that it does give Tim Connelly the flexibility to renegotiate his contract. It certainly would if Glenn Taylor is the one calling the shots. He was the one who ultimately signed off on Tim Connelly coming in. He would have to sign off on some new contract for Tim Connelly. And again, he would be silly not to pay that. Given the improvement that has happened and the uncharacteristic success that this franchise has had with Tim Connelly aboard, with Chris Finch aboard. And so you have kind of just back-to-back days of maybe a Glenn Taylor favored kind of report, and then a Mark Loriax Rodriguez favored report. And all I'm saying with all of this is it's just so messy right now. And I understand fans being exhausted with this. Like, we just want to watch some basketball. We want to enjoy the season for once in our lives in what has been a relatively unsuccessful 35 years of existence for this team. Here we got a team that we really like, that we can really get behind. Now we got to worry about all this. And so the whole thing is just really unfortunate. It threatens to overshadow things for the fans. I think the players are locked in. I don't think it's going to affect them. But it really does just kind of make your stomach churn. And you always are wondering, what is the next thing coming around the corner? And we will get to some of that here right after this last break. We are brought to you again by Defined Destinations, defineddestinations.com. If you go to that site and search up anything that you want, they have exotic trips all over the world at any time of the year, whatever you're available for. Go to Defined Destinations. It's your local tour company based right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. They have over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Defined Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. DefineDestinations.com, where every journey is an adventure. We are also brought to you by Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chop clothing line. And these guys at Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops do unbelievable work with the most comfortable, stylish sweatpants you could ever ask for. You know, I love their shorts, which we are about to give away a little bit later in the show. Some of the highest quality shorts that you could ever wear. They have hoodies. They just did another kind of pop-up shop in Target Center with some Timberwolves collabs, and it they're super cool. They sell out in like two minutes. Jordan and Craig sit courtside at the games. They support this franchise, and they support this podcast as well. And so when you look at, you know, companies that support us, support them as well, kind of return the favor. And you get to do it by going to sglambchops.com, put in the promo code JONK20, J-O-N-K-20, for 20% off your purchase at Lamb Chops. Sweatpants, hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, anything you want, hats, and make yourself look really cool in those situations. And so go there again, sglambchops.com, JONK20 for 20% off anything there. And at the end of this podcast, pretty soon here, we'll answer a Twitter question, and the winner will get a free pair of Lamb Chop shorts. So thanks again to Lamb Chops, to Define Destinations for supporting this pod. And we will get back here to the end of the show. All right, we are back here now with the John Krasinski Show. I'm John Krasinski. I've been rambling, been trying to unpack and unweave this whole situation for the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. Ultimately, guys, I would tell you that if you're looking for some kind of silver lining in this, if you're looking for, hey, how do we kind of get out of the weeds of the day-to-day and avoid kind of the back and forth that is going on right now, you can just focus on the court. The players themselves, I do not believe, are wrapped up in this or will be distracted by this at all. They beat Denver on the day that this all happened. Initially, they lost to Denver earlier this week. A few hours after the luxury tax report came out, but I don't think that played a role at all in their performance. I don't think it will play a role at all in their performance in the playoffs. And so when you look at, just kind of where to cling and where to look to, you just got to invest in what this team is doing on the court. Let the legal process, the arbitration process play out and see, what happens here because it is going to be a long process. I wish I could tell you that in the next week or two, this is all going to be resolved and you will know for sure. This is Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie's team. This is Glenn Taylor's team. I do not anticipate that being the case. There is mediation that has to happen first as part of the contract. That could come up as early as May, I believe. But after that, there will be an arbitration process. After that, there's a chance that this could go to the courts. Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez have intimated as much that they will challenge this as long as they have to. They believe that legal parameters are on their side. Glenn Taylor feels great about his position. But all of that is to say, I do not see the two sides coming together to resolve this process soon. What I do hope happens is that the two sides look at how messy and how ugly this has been and say, guys, we have to kind of stand down right now and get out of the public eye and let this process play out and let the focus return to the team and to the court. Tonight will be interesting with Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie courtside. Glenn Taylor and Becky Taylor, I'm sure, will be courtside as well. We'll see what the environment is like in there. I don't expect either side to be trying to curry favor with the fans, to try and whip them up into a frenzy or anything like that. But I do hope that they both can just kind of act with some sort of decorum and move forward and try and take some sort of high road, because this has been a very messy last 2 weeks in the organization. And no one, I don't think, is looking great in this situation right now. So I hope that, you know, kind of cooler heads prevail, that everything just settles down now for the next however long it takes, and especially during the playoffs as the Wolves are getting ready to go in there. And so we'll see how that happens. I don't know. They're, both sides seem to be pretty upset with one another. They seem to completely see things on different vibes. And so there's not going to be a common ground that is met. Now, the only question is will they just say, hey, we're going to cool this for now. Let the game talk for itself. Let the players take center stage and then resume the fight when it gets to mediation, arbitration in the courts. So with that said, we will go to the Twitter questions of the day. And I think, let's say here, we're going to go to Derek Sullivan, Derek E. Sullivan. What would happen if Mark and A-Rod asked for their money back? Do we know if it's in an escrow account? Glenn does not seem to be interested in returning it. So it's a good question, Derek. First of all, let me say, number one, off the top of it, they are not going to ask for their money back. I think that something that is different from a previous dispute with a minority owner, with a limited partner, if you remember when Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie first came to the ownership group, limited partner Mayor Orbach sued Glenn Taylor saying that he wanted his money right away. He wanted to be paid out right away. I think that Mayor Orbach kind of was hoping that he would be in line to buy the team when Mark and Alex were chosen as the successors. That really upset Mayor Orbach. And he said, all right, I'm suing. I want my money now. Just pay me out. Let me get out of here. That suit was dismissed. Glenn Taylor had the right to kind of keep him on board until the process was completed, because the plan was for this last 40% tranche that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie were supposed to buy, a bunch of the money in that tranche was going to go to buying out all of Glenn Taylor's limited partners. That was the plan. That was when they were going to get their money. That was when Orbach was going to get his money. But obviously that has not materialized. And so in this situation, I don't think that right now would be a case where Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez would say, all right, you're doing this to us. Just pay us back our money plus, let's say, some consideration for the way that the valuation of this team has appreciated over the last 3 years. And we'll take our money and we'll take our profit and we'll go. They're not going to do that. They really are dug in here. They want to own this team. They believe that they have done what they need to do to own this team. and they believe that they're going to win in arbitration, mediation, court, whatever it takes. Glenn Taylor disagrees, says, no, you guys didn't do it. I'm going to win. But all that to say is that I don't think that there is a mechanism right now beyond a settlement where Glenn says, hey, guys, I will pay, you're already in for X amount of dollars. I'll pay you 2X to go away. That would be what it would take to get, you know, to make that happen. But I just don't think there's any amount of money right now that you could pay Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez to go away. That's just the heated nature of this situation. So Derek Sullivan, thanks for your question. I will DM you on Twitter and Lamb Chops to connect you. You will get your free pair of shorts. Remember, JohnK20, JONK20 at lambchops.sglambchops.com for 20% off anything you get there. Woo! That's a lot. I hope I got some sort of clarity for you guys, at least laying out the situation and really kind of the overarching theme of, man, this has been unfortunate timing for all of this to take place because it is taking away, I think, a little bit from a team that deserves to be center stage right now. So I will say once again, thanks to Aquarius Home Services Studio, thanks to Head Flyer Brewing, TSR Injury Law, Lamb Chops and sglambchops.com, and Define Destinations for supporting this podcast. Thank you to Brandon Morton for producing this podcast, and I hope to see you all at Head Flyer Brewing on April 16th, 6 p.m. with Tim Connolly for a pre-playoffs extravaganza. Ticket giveaways and everything else. See you then, everyone. We'll be right back.